Hi, I'm Lucy and welcome to Lucy Talks. This podcast is all about finding meaning, self-belief and connection while embracing the seasons of your life. I believe that your happiness matters for the planet. When we are fulfilled and feeling self-confident, we are so much more able to take meaningful action, both in our lives and for social change. I want this podcast to dare you to reimagine your own life and the world we live in, and to feel empowered to make changes. All of this while using the lens of the changing seasons to allow for softness, kindness, and balance. I'm so excited to have you here. Let's get started. Hello everyone, welcome back to Lucy Talks. Thank you very much for clicking on this episode. I hope you're having a lovely day. I always love imagining what people are up to while they're listening to the podcast. I don't know if you're driving to work or on a walk or maybe on a run, I don't know. But I really hope that you enjoy listening and I always love to hear your feedback. So thanks for sending in messages whenever you do. It's really nice to know that there's people listening on the other side. Anyway, so this week we are going to be chatting all about the last year of my life, and I usually do an episode similar to this at the end of each year, which I have done for the last 3 years. This year I was kind of not in the position to hit the ground running with the podcast at the new year because I just got back from travelling, as we'll go into, and yeah, I've just never got around to it. So I thought that this might be a nice opportunity to have a reflect and to kind of take stock of where I am now, because recently in the last couple of weeks or so, I've been feeling quite like I want to make a shift. I want to start actioning the things that I've been trying to think about. I want to start like building this momentum going forward that's been gathering over the last months or so. And I really just think that how on earth can you know where you're going if you don't know where you are now? So this is me taking stock of where I am now, trying to do a little year review, reflecting on the things that I've learned, the things that I've experienced, the ups and the downs, of which there were many, and just kind of starting to get this foundation that I've been building really solid to really kind of appreciate where I am now and then use that as then a springboard to future things. So I hope you enjoy, and I hope it maybe inspires like similar reflection of your own life, because when I was planning this out, I was thinking, oh my God, like there's so much that's happened and it all seemed so pressing and important at the time. But once it's passed, when do you ever like go back and revisit it that in that much depth? It just all kind of blends into one and it all merges and we just move on and things just happen. So yeah, I just really want to do this last year justice and give it a bit of attention, try and reflect on some things in myself and hopefully just, yeah, find a bit of like comfort in revisiting some things. There's been a lot that's happened that we'll get into, but I thought I'd start with some gratitudes because I like to do this to set the scene and give you a little bit of an update of what I've been up to this week. So firstly, I'm really grateful for having spent lovely quality time with Rosie in London last weekend. Rosie and I have known each other since we were two and we went to primary school together. We saw each other like every week while we were at secondary school, even though we were at different secondary schools. And then we ended up going to the same uni. So that was really lovely because we could see each other more and it didn't need to be so much of a planned thing. So yeah, I am really grateful that we are still in contact. And whenever I see Rosie, it just honestly goes back to ourselves like instantly. It's one of those friendships where you don't necessarily need to update each other on your life every week or kind of have that regular contact. We kind of just will like have a call every now and then, meet up every now and then, and every time, like I haven't seen her since last July, I think, when she just moved into a house in London. She's now been there for 9 months. I've been on these all of these adventures and stuff, and yeah, it just like instantly comes back to how it always is, which I love. And it's not to say that there's not effort going into that friendship, but it's just one of those different friendships where it's not like so much of an active thing in the day to day. So I really appreciate having Rosie as a friend, and she is honestly one of the funniest people I know. She just makes me laugh so much, and it was lovely. We went to Columbia Road Flower Market on Sunday, which is a really cool place. It was so busy and just like a whole street lined with flowers. So I got some lovely tulips, which are still just about hanging on. It's been a week now. They're just about hanging on still. We also went out for a lovely meal at a place called La Nonna in Brixton Village. Really delicious. Honestly, like the best Italian I've ever had, I think. So good. So yeah, I recommend that. It was expensive, but like everywhere in London is expensive. I'm like, oh my God. Anyway, that was really lovely. Went out for a drink as well, and I've really not been drinking alcohol at all recently. Like I've had maybe like two occasions where I've had a drink in the last, since the start of this year, like since New Year's, and I'm really genuinely enjoying it. I don't feel the need to be drinking, and that's really nice. And so as a result, I'm a massive lightweight now. So I'd literally had half of this cocktail, and I was genuinely tipsy. I was like, okay, right, this is what it is like, okay. But no, it was a really lovely time, and yeah, just very much enjoyed it. The next thing I'm grateful for is managing this week that I've had really well. So for context, this week I've had something on in the evenings, every evening. I've been at the cafe in the day and then either tutoring or swimming teaching every evening this week. And I kind of, if this had been a week where I was in the latter half of my cycle in my luteal phase, I, my God, like that would have been a completely different week. But because I'm at the start of my cycle, I feel like I breezed through the week and I'm quite proud of myself. I just tried to focus on each day, just do that day justice, and really didn't even get anxious at all throughout the whole week, which is a win for me. So definitely a win. So that was really good. And I loved the swimming teaching that I did. It's really nice getting to do something like one-on-one with the kids and like feel like you're having an impact. I really enjoy the work that I'm doing at the moment, kind of in all senses. Feels like there's a genuine impact to what I'm doing. So whether that's like being part of the team at the cafe I'm working at, or doing that like direct one-on-one tutoring, seeing exactly what they need to work on and having an impact there, or whether it's the kind of more practical like using my body fun side of swimming teaching, I really, really am enjoying it all. So that's good. It's just a lot to juggle, but that's fine. I feel like I've got a grip on it now, and before I know it, it's all going to change again if I land a graduate job. So you know, just trying to embrace it and enjoy it for what it is, and I genuinely am quite enjoying life at the moment. It feels really nice, so that's good. And what else am I grateful for? So yesterday I had quite a bit of a chunk of time to just sit and like edit my YouTube videos, kind of just have a bit of like me time. Really appreciated that, and I am really enjoying creating these YouTube videos. The one that I'm doing at the moment is the first Australia vlog, so that's going to be out some point this week, so keep your eyes peeled for that. The link to the YouTube will be in the bio of this episode, and you can also find it via the links in my Instagram, or just type in Lucy Woodward and something like travel vlogs, because there's also a singer called Lucy Woodward, so that's helpful. Yeah, if you type that in, you should find the YouTube channel. Anyway, been, yeah, really enjoying doing those, and it's lovely to have a record of the trip to look back on. So, so nice. This week, we're going to be reflecting on the whole last year of my life. So it's currently March, and since last March, a lot has happened. So for context, last March, I was in fourth year of university. I was kind of gearing up to finish my whole degree. I was very much aware of the fact that uni was ending, and I think because I did the fourth year, quite a few of my friends did the fourth year as well, but also quite a few of my friends graduated after 3 years, so the whole of that fourth year felt like a bonus, and felt like, you know, I was really enjoying that year. I really did kind of thrive in fourth year, I think. Found my feet and was just, you know, doing everything I wanted to do, really making the most of it. So that was great. But towards the end of the year, particularly, once I was solidly working on my fourth year project, writing up that report, had kind of finished all my other modules, I was really very aware of the fact that uni was ending. And this came with a lot of like upheaval. I felt so at home in Nottingham, particularly in my student house, because I lived there for all of second year, all of third year, and all of fourth year. And oh my God, the heartache of moving out of that room, I was so upset. Like, I really did not want to move out. I felt so at home there, so like, this is my place, this is like the life that I've built for myself. And I just really enjoyed that last year. I really enjoyed uni as a whole, but especially that last year, I just felt so comfortable with myself and with the people around me, and just in that space. So it was a big upheaval to move out, and I really didn't want to do it. But yeah, I filmed like a whole clip of me on the last evening before I moved out, and I'm just sobbing. I'm just like so upset. And my friends will know that morning that we came to move out. Oh, I was not happy. I was just like trying to keep it in, really trying to rein in the tears and not just keep crying all the time, because I really was quite upset about moving out. However, that's not to say that fourth year wasn't difficult in its own respect. So I was in counselling for all of fourth year, which I genuinely found so helpful, because it just gave me like an outlet for how I was feeling. And there was a lot of stuff to work through actually from fourth year. Particularly the start of that year was really challenging, as you will know if you listened to the podcast around that time. I'm not going to go into all of that now because I just want to focus on this year. But as a result, there was still quite a bit that I was working through at the end of that year. And also in terms of my sexuality and coming out to myself, I guess, and also my friends and family, that was quite a big thing going on in my life at that time. So it was almost a year ago today, around this time last year anyway, that I told my parents that I was bi and that I had a girlfriend, which they had already guessed, and their reactions were so lovely. So I was very, very grateful for that at the time. It felt like such a massive thing to get off my chest. And I don't know, by that point, I'd kind of somewhat come to terms with it in my own self. Like, I felt fairly fine about my sexuality and my own self. I didn't mind too much, and I told most of my friends by that point, and to be honest, most of them are gay or bi, so that was pretty easy. But yeah, it was like quite a big step telling mum and dad. I think my biggest fear with that was that they'd maybe see me differently, and not just my parents, like people in general, people would see me differently, people would, I don't know, assume certain things about me. But for the most part, I don't think that's really affected me that much, and I don't see that that has been the reality, which is lovely. Maybe it's because I'm surrounded by the right people, but yeah, regardless, it's been really nice, and it's not something that really occupies my mind anymore. I just kind of feel quite comfortable in that, and obviously I'm not living with Freya, so yeah, it feels pretty normal, feels very like right, and just doesn't even like cross my mind that much in terms of, you know, how people see me or how that's perceived. I feel very like at home in that for the most part, which is great. I know that people tend to see that as quite like a big challenge, and definitely at the time it was, but now that I'm like the other side of that and just, you know, existing as myself, it really doesn't feel like that big of a deal. So, you know, maybe if that's something you're going through at the moment, then just know that it isn't going to feel as big of a deal forever. Hopefully at one point it will just feel completely normal, and you won't even be able to imagine like people not knowing that about you. So yeah. So the next big thing that happened in my life was going traveling, which I know I've mentioned several times in the podcast since I've restarted it, but I've never really like dived into it. So for the most part, that's what this episode is going to be. I'm going to be going through the ups and the downs of traveling, and my God, were there ups and there were downs. There were huge moments of fulfillment and moments of challenge, times when I felt so, so far out of my comfort zone that I really felt completely untethered. And of course, moments that I'm so unbelievably grateful for that I just will remember forever. And this is kind of the reality of traveling, at least the reality that I experienced, is that there was some huge highs, some absolutely amazing experiences, and some really, really low lows. And I don't necessarily think this is the same for everyone, but maybe it is. I don't know. I feel like everyone always shows the highlights of their travel experience, and therefore, as a result, don't know if my experience is similar to everyone else's or if I'm the anomaly. I don't know. But I definitely struggled a lot during this trip. Yeah, it wasn't easy by any stretch. It was simultaneously amazing and really, really difficult. And that duality is just something that I've had to come to terms with. I would love to sit here and say it was the like absolute highlight reel the whole time, but that's not the reality, and I don't want to lie, I don't want to brush over things that were quite impactful. And I do think I did that a lot at the time, because I really felt a lot of pressure to be enjoying myself and not to be, you know, feeling the low points while I was in them, which looking back wasn't the most helpful thing to do. But, you know, there's so much pressure to, especially when you're doing something so amazing as like having the opportunity to go away for 4.5 months. And especially now that I'm back, I'm like, oh my God, that was so incredible, like such an incredible opportunity to do that and to have that much time away from work, to have like been able to build up that amount of savings to go and do that. And yeah, all this to say that like I completely understand how privileged of an opportunity that is and how lucky I am and how I am genuinely very, very grateful for everything. And I guess for me, part of that is being grateful for the ups and the downs. So yeah, a caveat at the start of this episode that I appreciate how bloody privileged this is. But also I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was all sunshine and rainbows when that's not what I experienced, you know? I hope that nuance comes across. All right, so let's start with some moments of huge fulfillment because, you know, this is a nice place to start. So Aidan and I arrived in Thailand and one of the first places that we visited, we flew into Bangkok and then we kind of immediately went up to Lampang, which is a lesser travelled spot, which is where Sophie and Freya were teaching. And one of the highlights from this time was kind of our first weekend together. We went to the Lampang mountain temples, which are these absolutely beautiful temples nestled on the tops of the mountains. And you climb up to this kind of amazing viewpoint over an absolutely gorgeous valley. And it was quite a cloudy day, so we were almost like in the clouds. There were, yeah, just these like wispy clouds over the forests. And it was so beautiful and so incredible. And by this point, it was all very, very novel, all really new. The idea of like visiting Thai temples was still like a huge novelty, and it was just so magical and such like a wow, we're really here, like this is so cool. I also a few weeks later went in to teach in some of Freya's classes, which was amazing as well. I kind of taught them a little bit about korfball, which was quite fun, and Freya kind of like passed around the sheet of paper and they could ask me different questions, and some of them were so cute. It was like, why are you so tall and why are you so pretty? Things like, will you marry me? And it was very, very sweet. They were all so lovely. And one of the things in general that I loved about Thailand is just the people, man. They're so kind. They have so much respect for you. And something else that I really noticed was that the boys are all so kind to each other. I feel like in the UK, in, you know, the Western world, there's this expectation that boys need to be a bit macho, need to have this, like, I don't know, sense of like strength and unemotionalness to them. I don't know if that's the word. But in Thailand, I guess in Asia in general, but particularly in Thailand, respect is so valued that there's just so much less ego, so much less machoism in the men and boys. And that made such a difference. I felt so safe walking around the streets. There was a slight difference in terms of like, you felt stared out if it was an area where there wasn't that many white people around, but that was kind of separate. But yeah, you can walk along the streets and feel completely safe, not feel like you could be, you know, harassed or catcalled or anything like that. And my God, it was so cool. So that was lovely. And just, yeah, in general in Thailand, the culture of going to the markets in the evening, of the whole community kind of coming together, and there was lots of people exercising in the parks in the evening, and just, I don't know, it just felt so lively and so much going on, and there wasn't a kind of individualistic way of thinking about things. There was this whole community aspect and people were honestly so kind and so willing to help you and do things for you. So yeah, that definitely contributes to why I love Thailand so much. It was amazing. Some other moments of fulfillment. I came to be really quite comfortable in Chiang Mai towards the end of the time that I had in Thailand. So for context, I feel like if you're a new listener to the podcast, this is going to be a bit all over the place. So I'll try and explain as well. So for context, the first month that we were there, which was August, I was in Thailand for the whole of that month. So we were in Bangkok, Lampang, Chiang Mai, and Pai, which were all amazing. And I particularly found myself feeling really at home in Chiang Mai because we visited it quite often. And then later on in the trip, so for September, Aidan, Matt, May, and I were in Vietnam and Cambodia. And then after that, Aidan and I returned to Thailand with Freya and Sophie for another month there. So basically had 2 whole months in Thailand, but separated by a month of September in Cambodia and Vietnam, if that makes sense. So by the time I returned to Thailand in October, I felt really at home, and I just remember flying back to Chiang Mai. We'd had some various experiences in Cambodia and Vietnam, not all of them positive, and I felt this absolute sense of like, wow, okay, I love it here. And I just felt like, okay, I know where I'm going. Like, I arrived back at the bus station, I got in a Songtao by myself and was able to like barter with the man and get a good price, which previously I had absolutely no idea about. It was absolutely torrentially raining, and I just felt like, wow, I'm here. I'm so grateful to be back in Thailand. This is so lovely and comforting, and I understand how the culture works. I could kind of speak very, very limited, but enough to kind of converse slightly to get what I needed in conversation. And it was just, yeah, such a great feeling of, oh, like this, of such a sense of fulfillment. So amazing. Another place that I loved near Chiang Mai was Sticky Falls, and I visited it twice. So it's basically these waterfalls that, because of the limestone in the rocks, are really sticky. So you can kind of just walk up these waterfalls, which saying this now, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to do this. It's so cool. And the scenery was absolutely gorgeous. It's genuinely like paradise. So you walk all the way down these wooden steps, all the way down to the bottom. There's 4 waterfalls. So you start right at the bottom one. You ease your way into this gorgeous waterfall pool at the bottom, and then you start your ascent up this waterfall. It's not particularly taxing. It kind of sounds like it's really tricky, but it's, yeah, just almost like a gentle rock climb up. Enough to make you feel like you're doing something, but not too much that it's really difficult. And yeah, that was just such a beautiful place. I absolutely loved Sticky Falls and Chiang Mai in general. So nice. Definitely felt very fulfilled there. Another thing that made me feel really fulfilled is the week volunteering at the elephant sanctuary. So I went with Aidan for a week at Elephant Nature Park near Chiang Mai. Again, absolute paradise. This was definitely one of the highlights of the whole trip. I absolutely loved it. So we got to kind of volunteer and help out with the various tasks throughout the week. We weren't really essential, which I guess is a good thing, but the main part is that we were able to, contribute to the running of the park, and that our money was, helping the elephants, because it is an expensive place to run. And the woman that founded it, called Lek, is such an inspiration. She kind of like had this whole backstory of working with her parents in the logging industry with elephants, and then was exposed to the reality of the fact that these elephants were being hugely mistreated, abused, and yeah, just like utterly like disrespected. And so she kind of defied her parents and set out to rescue these elephants and save them and try and create a space for them where they could just be elephants and not be subject to all of the abuse that they had been. And yeah, having the opportunity to be there for a whole week was so beautiful. I think by this point as well, I was really needing like a solid base, and having just like having being able to exist in the same space and get to know the place that I was and just like make friends with people and have that base for a whole week, I really valued that as well. So yeah, really amazing experience. I have a whole video of my time there if you want to see the elephants, which is on my YouTube channel, so feel free to go and watch that. It's one of my favorite ones. Oh my God, this is going to be such a long episode. I can feel it already. I'm already at about 30 minutes, which is crazy. Okay, so other moments of fulfillment. I really enjoyed pushing myself and going to do some yoga classes. So one of the ones that I enjoyed the most was in Vietnam, in Hoi An. It was like nothing I'd ever done before. The guy that ran it was so kind and hilarious as well. So there was about maybe like 6, 7 of us, and so we did a fairly typical yoga flow for the first maybe 40 minutes of the session. And then, unbeknownst to me, because I didn't speak any Vietnamese, I didn't really know what was going on, he was, you know, trying to direct me, and he did speak some English, so he was, you know, coaching me through a little bit. But I then had no idea what was going on. But they started doing this kind of like acrobatics yoga, and they had found these videos of people doing various balances, various poses where there were multiple people holding each other up. And so we had a go at doing that, which was really fun. And they were just like in hysterical laughter for quite a lot of that, and we were all just laughing together. I had no idea what they were saying, but it all seemed very friendly, and we were just like having so much fun laughing together doing these random like hilarious yoga practices. So that was really funny. And then, complete contrast again, we just like all went into this meditation at the end. He must have said something to them that was like, okay, let's go and sit back down, because we did this meditation for a little bit. And then all in unison, they started doing these huge like, oh, but really loud. And I swear the whole room was like reverberating. It was incredible. And I'm normally quite like reserved and a bit resistant to doing things like that. It doesn't feel like that natural, but I guess in their culture, it's just very accepted, very open. And again, it's this sense of like, it's not about the individual, it's about the collective. And if they're contributing to the collective sound, then that's like the thing about them. It kind of makes you stand out more if you don't contribute, you don't get stuck in. So I just thought, right, I'm going to have to get on with this. And it was amazing. Like, so the whole, like your whole body feels like it's vibrating, and just like being part of that, being part of their class was really cool. I also did another yoga class in Bali, which I equally loved. Very, very different again. This one was like a Balinese healing yoga, and it really shows like how different yoga can be in different places, different parts of the world. So yeah, this one was a lot of flexibility, a lot of stretching, a lot of like back bends all the way back. And God, it was very challenging actually, quite like physically difficult, but so, so cool. And again, the guy that ran that class was the kindest person ever. He was telling us about his backstory into yoga, and just, yeah, it was mostly like German and Dutch ladies that I was doing it with. Just, yeah, loved it. Absolutely gorgeous setting as well, this whole like outdoor space. Amazing. Really enjoyed that. Okay, I'm sure there are many, many more moments to talk about, but for now I'm going to move on, because otherwise we'll be here all day. So there were some proper low points during this trip, and particularly during the start of the whole trip, like for the first, I don't know, I want to say like 2 months, month and a half at least, I was really, really finding it difficult. I was feeling extremely untethered, feeling completely out of my depth, huge amounts of anxiety, and really just like quite struggling internally. I even began to consider coming home at one point during my time in Cambodia, because I just thought, this is so unsustainable. How am I going to do this for the next 3.5 months if I can't even do it for 1 month? So it was really quite difficult at times. I was feeling, yeah, just like a complete lack of purpose, feeling so ungrounded, and like I couldn't do anything, because I just was getting so overwhelmed by all of the sensory experiences, feeling like I couldn't ever stop, because it was like I was on a treadmill and it was just going and going and going, and I couldn't really see an end point to when I wouldn't be moving around anymore. Because obviously the point of traveling is that you travel around and you go to different places and experience different things. And it's funny, because simultaneously I loved it and hated it. Just found it really difficult to get any sense of like structure and rhythm, because you start to maybe feel used to a place after 2 days, and then you pack up your bags and move off again. And within that, there's not really any time to just like exist. I felt the pressure to always be, you know, maximizing my time, experiencing things to the fullest, and like not missing out on any opportunities. So I'd say yes to probably too many things. Try to, yeah, do as much as I could. Try to, you know, maybe live that stereotypical backpacker life a little bit, and just like try to make the most of it. But honestly, when you're feeling as low as I was at certain points in that, when you're feeling as anxious as that, it's just impossible. And I really tried to like keep picking myself up, to keep going, to keep like keep on going. But I just, yeah, it wasn't working for me in the first half of that trip. And to be honest, the whole trip, like, there was definitely anxiety throughout the whole trip. It's just it was pretty severe in the first like month or so. And yeah, I got to a point in Cambodia where I just felt I couldn't like hear my own thoughts, or that I couldn't separate my own thoughts from other like more negative thoughts. And I think for me, something I learned is that rest and like time by myself is so fundamental. I can't actually like function if I don't have some time to myself. And particularly being in hostels all the time, I found really difficult. So one of the things that helped me the most was then getting some private rooms. When Freya was with us, we had rooms together, and having that space and like a sense of, okay, this is my little place in this crazy big world, that helped so much. And I just had to take the financial hit on that a little bit and not to worry too much about the finances, because it got to the point where if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have actually been able to make it through the whole trip. I would have had to come home, because yeah, just having like panic attacks and having such like severe anxiety that I just, you know, couldn't really do anything. So it was, yeah, like I said, simultaneously amazing and simultaneously really difficult. And I think the longer it went on, the more I felt at home with the moving around, and the more I felt like used to it, at least not necessarily thriving in it, but just used to it, and kind of had some more strategies for dealing with it and some more ways to keep myself going. But it was pretty hard. So yeah, I've really, really learned the value of having some structure and purpose in my life. Traveling definitely taught me that, and I didn't realize how much I needed that. Like, while I was at uni, it was kind of inbuilt. So it just goes to show like how much your own personality can affect your experience of something. Because for example, Aiden, who I did the whole of our trip together with, he doesn't need any alone time. He's such an extrovert, which is amazing, and is just like a social butterfly, can have his rest time being like 15 minutes in a hostel dorm room on his phone, and that's great. But for me, it just didn't work out that way, and I really needed like a solid amount of time to feel like, okay, this is my own time, this is time where I can recharge, I don't need to be doing anything else. And even within that, it was quite hard to actually relax, because you know that you're going to be moving on somewhere else in the next day or two, or even that evening. So it was difficult, I can't lie. And I felt very, very untethered, very ungrounded. Tried to journal as much as I could, tried to do yoga whenever I could to try and help myself feel like, yeah, tethered in some way to something. But I think the lack of purpose as well really affected me, feeling like, what am I doing? Like, who am I? Am I doing the right thing? You know, all of this. Not necessarily am I doing the right thing being here, because I always felt like, okay, this is the right point of my life to go traveling, and this is something I've always wanted to do, and it was, like I said, amazing at the same time. But yeah, I don't know, just felt a lack of direction, was trying to figure that out and trying to figure out how I could stop myself feeling so anxious. So I guess I gravitated towards trying to, you know, do things like the YouTube videos. That really helped to feel like I had a little project to work on. Trying to do things like the yoga classes I mentioned, and do yoga in my own time to, yeah, feel a bit more connected to something. But yeah, I can't say I have all the answers. I just kind of learned little strategies to help me as I went along, and honestly, being a bit more open about it helped. I was trying to bottle it all up and not really talk to anyone. I did talk to Freya about it, but trying to carry on. But it got to a point where I just had to say, Aiden, I can't do this. Like, we need to sort something out. And he was amazing. And it just goes to show, you need to be open and honest with people, especially when you're traveling. It's so key to you both having a good time. And yeah, that helped a lot, I think. It's just being a bit more open, being a bit more transparent. Not that it's easy though, being honest about that sort of thing is not easy at all. Anyway, so that's just to address the low points, I guess. There were also some other moments of challenge, but that felt a bit more intentional, and that felt like I was trying to push myself out of my comfort zone and try new things. So One of these was the PADI course that I did, which is scuba diving, and yeah, I passed. I'm now an open water PADI diver. This was really quite a fun challenge, I thought. It came at a time where I was also feeling quite anxious, so that wasn't the best, but it was a lovely escape and was something that I was really grateful that I pushed myself to do, because it gave me something to think about. It really like forced me to try and get a better control of my mind, because in that moment where you're on the top of the water, you have your scuba gear on, you're about to descend, you have to be in control of your breathing. That is the most important thing about scuba diving. You have to always be breathing, has to be controlled, and the most important like skill with scuba diving is to be in control of your breath. And so if you're feeling anxious, if you're about to panic, that is not a good thing. You don't want to be panicking when you're about to go, you know, 18 meters underwater. So I really had to just like try and snap myself out of it if I wasn't feeling good, and to put that behind me and just focus on the moment, because otherwise like your life is in danger. So that was quite a harsh reality shock, I guess. Yeah, my instructor Saeed was lovely. Really felt like I was quite lucky to have someone who was quite calm and wasn't like one of those teachers where they would, you know, tell you off if you did something wrong, because that would mean that I would panic. So yeah, he was lovely, very calm, and kind of made you feel quite confident in your own abilities. So that was great. I did this in Koh Tao, which is like one of the cheapest places to do your PADI course, and also one of the most beautiful. So cool. I loved like just getting to see all the coral down there. So beautiful. And such like an immersive experience. You can't think about anything else when you're scuba diving. You just have to be fully in the moment. And yeah, quite difficult. I found one of the hardest things was like you have to practice like different skills to prove that if something went wrong, you'd be able to do it. So you have to take your regulator out, which is the thing that you use to breathe. So you're basically 18 meters underwater without any source of breath. You then have to practice like swapping with a partner and taking your mask off as well. So it was quite challenging, but definitely enjoyed it a lot and would love to do more scuba diving in the future. I wouldn't say it's my calling. I know that some people scuba dive and they're like, oh my God, I have to do this forever. I found it really enjoyable, don't get me wrong, really enjoyable, but it wasn't something that I was like, oh my God, like I need to be underwater all the time. I just, you know, it was really fun and something that I found really valuable in pushing myself out of my comfort zone a little bit intentionally, rather than feeling like it was something that was forced upon me, like with the anxiety. So yeah, really enjoyed that. Very glad that I did it. Another thing that was a huge push out of my comfort zone was a skydive. When I went away, I thought, oh, you know, like if the opportunity presents itself, maybe I'll do a skydive. And I did. Oh my God, it was crazy. Like I mentioned, I'm quite sensitive to sensory things sometimes, particularly at certain points in my cycle, like just before the end, I'm very easily overwhelmed. And safe to say, skydiving is a pretty intense sensory experience. Oh my God, I'm so glad I did it. It was incredible. And that feeling of free fall is insane. Like you can't quite describe it, because you think it might be, I don't know, it's almost like when you put your hand out of the car window, it's like that feeling of the air against your hand, but obviously it's your whole body and you're genuinely just falling. There's no flying about it, you're just falling. Oh, so glad. I would never be able to do that without an instructor. Oh my God, so glad my instructor was capable and God, crazy. But yeah, the whole plane ride up, I was feeling more and more nauseous, because I'm not great with like, I get quite travel sick in the car. It was a tiny little plane. You go up quite quickly and we were trying to like skirt around the clouds and things like that, trying to get a big space of open air. It just felt quite like rocky and I was feeling a little bit sick. I was definitely feeling nervous about the skydive. My God, you're up in this plane and you see the ground beneath you and you're like, okay, oh shit, like this is really happening now. Absolutely crazy. And yeah, then you don't really have any time to think. Once you're up there, you're up there, you're going out the plane, like they don't give you an option, which is good because God knows I wouldn't have been able to be like, yeah, let's go. Yeah, and then you're just falling. It's happened so quickly. I watched Aiden go first. He was in front of me and he was right. He was the first one to go right at the front. The guy that was Aiden's instructor lifts up the hatch and then they're out. They go, they drop. Aiden has dropped to the ground and then it's my turn. So my instructor shuffles us forward. No time to think about it. I genuinely feel a bit sick even thinking about this. And you just fall. You just fall. There's no warning, you just fall. And it feels like forever. And then he pulls the parachute, you go up a bit. That was quite a jolt, actually. It was quite, like, sudden. And then you get the parachute bit. We actually had to descend really quickly because there was a storm coming in. So we were, like, circling down. At one point, I was literally like, stop! Like, please stop! Because I hate spinny things. I really get motion sick, like I said. Spinning. Oh my god, crazy. But he did let me fly it for a point of it, which was quite fun. I didn't realise that he'd actually let go, but thank God I didn't let go because I just had the reins of this parachute. Kind of crazy. Anyway, yeah, so then we got to the bottom and he's like, how was it? And I'm thinking internally, oh my God, I can't express anything. So I think I said like, amazing, but simultaneously incredible and just very nauseating, if I'm completely honest. But I would recommend. I think beforehand I thought, how can you not enjoy a skydive? Like, surely anyone would enjoy that. And I did enjoy it, but I don't think I'll be doing it again. I think one time is enough for me, to be honest. Yeah. Really, really cool though. So glad I did it. And it's one of those things where it's mind over matter. Once you've committed to doing it, you're going to do it. And I kind of knew that going into it. I felt like, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And I pushed myself to do it, and I'm so glad, because if I can jump out of a plane, I can kind of do anything. Like, crazy. Another thing that I'm really glad that I did is pushing myself to hire a car and to drive a car around Daintree Rainforest in Australia. So I'd never driven abroad before, and I was quite nervous, to be honest, particularly like because I was going to be driving the other four around. So by this point we had Jess with us as well, so it was Freya, Sophie, Jess, Aiden and I. And yeah, that was such a great decision. So we wanted to do the Daintree Uncle Brian's tour, but it was all sold out. And at the time, like, that felt like a bit of a bummer that we couldn't do that tour. So we were looking into different options and we thought, hang on, let's try and like look into hiring a car and just doing the same tour by ourselves. So that's what we ended up doing. And we stayed at all the same places. We visited all the same spots. We saw so much wildlife on that trip. It was incredible. It's the oldest rainforest in the world and it was just absolutely gorgeous. I loved those few days. We saw wild crocodiles, we saw cassowaries, we saw wild platypuses as well. That was amazing. They're so cute and tiny. They're so much smaller than I thought. Really, really cool. We went to Milla Milla Falls, which was absolutely incredible. Like, swimming underneath this huge waterfall. Oh my God, it like took your breath away. It was so cold, but it was just like one of the best moments, something that I will like cherish. It was one of those perfect moments that you kind of imagine, and we were just like all having so much fun going, like trying to swim through this waterfall. It was like, it felt so consuming because the water is so heavy down on you and you have to just keep swimming through it, otherwise you're not going to get to the other side. Oh my God, so cool. Absolutely stunning as well. Yeah, that was like such a highlight of Australia, doing the 3 days Daintree Rainforest. It was a lot of driving, I can't lie. So much driving around, but so worth it and really fun. Like, who doesn't love an Australia road trip? It was incredible. Okay, oh my God, this is such a long episode. Right, I'm gonna finish with a few little gratitudes and just some like lessons that I learned. So something that I really found noticeable is that the environment that you're in matters so much. I really noticed this actually going to Singapore from Malaysia, because it was such a stark contrast. Like, Singapore's just a tiny little island on the end of Malaysia, and this whole one city is basically the whole country. And the difference between coming from Malaysia, which is quite a strict culture, particularly in terms of like Freya and I would not be holding hands, we're not together in Malaysia, like it's not, you know, it's not very safe for LGBT. So the difference going from Malaysia to then arriving in Singapore, which is obviously kind of more like the Western world, definitely has, like, you can definitely tell it's in Asia, but there was such like a vast shift, and we'd literally just crossed over a river and my mood felt different. I felt like different, I don't know, just different thoughts, different experiences. And it really just shows that a different environment makes all the world of difference. And yeah, same as in Thailand, like I felt so safe walking around on the streets, even at night, which I don't necessarily hear. Like I feel like you have to have your wits about you a little bit, particularly in cities. And yeah, I just think environment makes such a big difference. Something I learned from Malaysia that was really interesting is that different religions, ethnicities and cultures can come together and people can genuinely live very harmoniously, even if they have different backgrounds. So in Malaysia, there's a mix of Chinese, Indian, and then the like Malay culture, but everyone is considered Malaysian. Everyone is respected. There's kind of like an equal weighting of importance given to those three different groups. And religious practice, we were talking to a taxi driver that we had about this. He was like, well, religious practice is a choice and everyone should have a choice over what they choose to believe in. And it's just like, it really just felt very harmonious. Obviously, there's downsides because there's not necessarily authentic expression for everyone. I guess they're accepting of some things, but not necessarily everything. Yeah, it just highlighted quite a lot, actually, our time in Malaysia. And I just believe that everyone should be free to do whatever they like they do in Malaysia. Everyone should be free to practice however they like, and people should be respecting of that. But I guess also, I do believe that everyone should be free to hold hands with whoever they like and express themselves however they like. So, you know, there's pros and cons to Malaysia, I would say. But I thought it was a fascinating country and so, so beautiful. I didn't expect too much going into Malaysia, but really exceeded my expectations. And finally, as I've mentioned, something that I learned throughout the whole trip, a really big lesson for me, is that I really do need structure and a sense of purpose to feel okay in myself, to feel like I, yeah, have some kind of like even footing and to be able to do anything. I just really need some structure. And that's probably the biggest lesson that I learned throughout the whole trip. Learned so much about different cultures as well, but also like from a personal point of view, that's probably the biggest takeaway. Wow, this has been a much longer episode than I anticipated. I need to get on with my day. Thank you very, very much for listening, especially if you've listened all the way to the end. I really appreciate it. I hope you found it interesting, and I hope I've given like a nice balanced view and that the nuances come across well, because I had such an amazing time. Also struggled a lot, but all in all, incredible. And I hope you've enjoyed the vlogs as well. There's more to come. It's taking me a while to get through them with everything else going on in my life. But yeah, really enjoying putting those together. Stay tuned for the Australia vlogs. And next week will be the final episode of the winter season of the podcast. I'm very excited for that and to get going with the spring section too. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a lovely week, a lovely rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.